Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Two of the most universally loved smells that make people happy are the smell of breaking bread, baking bread, and the pumpkin spice smell, that smell of pumpkin pies fresh from the oven. You may remember going into various stores and wondering, why does it smell like pumpkin spice in here? But that's because research has been done, and if you have that pumpkin spice smell all around you, you're more likely to spend more money. What smells are most pleasing to you? Is it roses or honeysuckle? The smell of wet earth after a summer rain? Or maybe it's that smell of cow manure and hay that means being out on the ranch. Perhaps it's the smell of violet water and talcum powder that brings to mind your grandmother's house. Or maybe that sweetened tobacco smell that recalls your grandfather's pipe. And we ourselves, our bodies have an odor, even if we disguise it with dryer sheets and bath products. Our loved ones know this smell, and for them it means home. They love it. The scriptures talk about God's sense of smell for thousands of years, going back to the times of animal sacrifices, and the sense that the odor of the smoke rising from burnt sacrifice was pleasing to God, a fragrance that God loved. And then there is this shift in meaning with Jesus that comes along. Jesus as sacrifice on our behalf. Jesus' sacrifice of his life is a fragrant offering to God. Now, obviously, Jesus' body was not burned. The shift in meaning is that his gesture of love, his whole life, is pleasing to God, brings God joy and pleasure. It is fragrant, using that language of smell. And it's not just his death that is pleasing to God, but the way he walked through all of his life, all of it, is pleasing to God. Now, every Sunday we begin our service with a prayer that makes it very clear that nothing about us is hidden from God. God knows our actions. God knows our hearts. God knows what we really smell like, whether we are kind of stinky or not. Whether our God knows those secret thoughts and actions, whether they're offensive to God's nostrils or whether there is that clean scent rising from our bodies, our souls. This statement that we hear as our whole service shifts from the ministry of the word to the sharing of the Eucharist is, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. That last verse of our reading from Ephesians is the source of that phrase, walk in love. Now, love for Paul is a way of being. It's like being brave, being cautious. To walk in love, to make your way, is to make your life be lived in such a manner that your choices and attitude and treatment of others are all shaped by a particular way of being, to live in love. It doesn't mean to be emotional or moody or sentimental or ineffectual. It is about being real, being committed to being present in truth. Paul insists, speak the truth to your neighbors, but do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger and don't make room for the devil. This kind of love is one that includes truth-telling. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. This is the kind of love that practices self-restraint, so that only what is useful for building up is released. Unrestrained anger tears down. This is a community that has been torn up in strife. Clearly, there are even thieves in the community who've been stealing stuff. We are to walk in love, live in love. It's an instruction to that whole community of Christians in Ephesus. And it is an instruction that's not just to an individual, but it's more like saying, y'all walk in love, not just you. Put away that bitterness and anger and wrangling and slander with malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Today we also see Elijah, who is plainly just worn out. He is ready to give up. He's exhausted because he has just worked very hard all day to prepare this sacrifice to prove that the priests of Baal are charlatans. And he has put a sacrifice on an altar and soaked it with water, surrounded it with water. The priests of Baal had put oil on everything. And so then God pours down fire and accepts this sacrifice. But Elijah is spent. He has done what God wanted, and yet he is exhausted, bereft. And yet God sends him food. This gift of food means more to Elijah than all of that dramatic fire. And not only does he eat once and fall asleep, God wakes him up again. Eat some more. You need more to eat. Elijah's actions, his service, were fragrant and pleasing to God. And we see a shift in the meaning of sacrifice as we move through the Old Testament. Covenant, God's promise to be Israel's God and Israel's promise to be faithful to God. This idea of covenant develops over the history of the Israelites. And so moving from pure sacrifice to behavior occurs in the meaning of what fulfills covenant. We see it in Amos when Amos quotes God by saying, I despise your religious feasts. I cannot stand your assemblies. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Or from Micah, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I bring before him burnt offerings with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. So the Lord God is clear. Simple offerings that don't involve a change in our lives are not what God is looking for. God is looking for faithful devotion, a life lived in love. There's a new movie out that you probably haven't seen yet because it's just come out. It's called Meg. That means megalodon, the prehistoric shark that no longer exists. Now, you might be surprised to hear this, but it is a surprisingly Christian movie. There is this billionaire who shows up, who's funded this research institute out in the ocean to study sharks. And he's expecting all these accolades for having spent that money, but no one is impressed with him. He doesn't realize that this community of people living out there, these researchers and their families, they love each other, they care about each other, and they will do anything to protect each other. Without giving up the plot, I won't give up the plot, people repeatedly sacrifice themselves to save others, and they grieve deeply for those who are their dear friends and loved ones. They have a community, and this billionaire begins to realize how valuable and precious this is. We're called to be imitators of Jesus, to walk in love with each other, to give of our lives if need be. So when the ushers bring forward the elements of bread and wine and the offering plates, the priest always raises them up because they are offerings to God. whether they're in the plate or come to the church via automatic deposit. They are offerings to God, and they are raised up, the bread and the wine, the offering plate as well. And in the Eucharistic prayer, we offer up ourselves, our bodies, our talents and skills to God as part of that prayer. And the whole prayer is called the Great Thanksgiving. There's this wonderful movement of giving and sacrifice that goes back and forth between the people and God, between Jesus and us, us and God. We offer to God the gifts that were given to us by God, and then God accepts them, and they are returned to us in the body and blood of Christ. And we are fed by God through the gifts that we receive from God. So you will hear these words, the gifts of God for the people of God. Listen in the Eucharistic prayer for how often gifts and giving and thanking and sacrifice are there. It is how we are to live. Let us aim for a life that God will find to be fragrant, not stinky ones. Jesus has cleaned us up. May our walk together be one that pleases God. Amen.